an old chunk of coal. Sing along with us. But I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue, pure, perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. I'm gonna kneel and pray every day. Yes, I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal, oh Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna look and pray as
wait, let's start over, ready?
I'm gonna learn the west way to walk. I'm gonna search and find a better way to talk. And I'm gonna spin and polish my every single thought. I'm gonna be the world's best friend. I'm gonna go around shaking everybody's hand. Hey, I'm gonna be the cotton picking rage at the age. And I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Page 16. Let's give me that old time religion. Kia D.
Hey, Mom.
Hi. You good? Yeah. It's good enough for you. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. That old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Let's hear you guys. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. And it's good enough for me.
Come up and tell us what's going on. Thank you.
Well, before I even get started, I got a praise. We love praises, don't we? Most of you know Danny Slatton, who's on our board of directors and everything. Danny has reached his 1-year stem cell anniversary with a recent bone marrow biopsy, showing no evidence of previous T-cell lymphoma, and is in complete donor cell engraftment. That's a praise. Danny likes to tell this story, though. After all doing all that, Danny's blood type is now different than it was when he went in. That's pretty cool. All right. Another praise, Randy Mills, who goes to our Livestock Center, had brain cancer. Had some work done on that a few weeks ago and found out this morning he was at church and he's doing great, no problem. Got Terry brain cancer. That's what prayer does. All right. Announcement real quick, too. If you want to eat on Sundays, and I know most of you like doing that, you need to start getting used to getting here earlier. Food's going to be started being picked up at 10:45. That way, the ladies that work so hard in that kitchen can get in here and be at the service. Right now, we're keeping them from being in here. So plan on that, all right? Okay, that's out of the way. And also, come here. You'll be all right in a minute. Come here. Just want to let you know, we've been praying for this lady, Cindy Crabtree. Pray for her family. Cindy had cancer, and we've been praying a lot for her. But she went home to be with Jesus this past Friday afternoon. So pray for her family, all right? I'll let you go ahead and start, and then I'll catch up with this in a minute. She's going to talk to you about the pictures.
Good morning, everybody. We are doing the pictures for the new directory. We had so few people show up on Saturdays that we have canceled the next two Saturdays that we had planned that were in the newsletter. We are still doing the weekend after, the very first weekend of October will be the last time we take pictures here. So if we haven't gotten your pictures yet, you need to come and see us at that time. If for some reason that does not work for you, please give me a call. We will set a time and date and get your picture because we want everyone to be in that directory. We want to see all your beautiful smiling faces. So please get a hold of me. We will be doing the following weekend at the Stockyards right after church. So we will do just like we did today, the first weekend of October, before and after church. So please come get your picture taken for the directory. It really helps everyone out so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly, for doing that, too. That directory is important. If you've ever used one, it's got the people's pictures, their phone number, all that stuff. So if you don't know somebody, you get to know their name before you ever go over and start talking to them. We all need to circle around and visit people and say, I don't know you, but my name is. Stuff like that. So, and there's... If somebody hadn't been here in a while, like a whole family that I know that's here right now, but I'm not going to embarrass them, hadn't been here in a while, and I looked up in the directory, found the picture of them and their phone number, called them, check on them, make sure everything was all right. That's important. You'd want somebody to do that for you, too. That's part of why the directory is so important. All right? Now, big hand for the band. Oh, my goodness. And welcome home to Sauk River Cowboy Church. Good to see you all here today. For you new folks, everything we've got going on is in that newsletter on our tables. So make sure you pick one of those up, or you can read it on SaukRiverCowboyChurch.com, too. Pictures for our new church, we've been doing that. I'm not going to do that one. That was from the other service. We're needing volunteers for Children's Church, and that information is in the newsletter, all right? Circle of Sisters Prayer and Bible Study is every Monday, 6 p.m. at our event center. All ladies are invited to that. Band of Brothers Men's Prayer and Bible Study Group is the first and third Sunday every month at 1 p.m., also at our event center, but it is canceled today. The guy that leads that's kind of sick right now. Now, important. If you missed out on the baptism at the creek and you want to be baptized, we can do that still at the creek anytime between now and when it starts getting cold. Water's cold anyway, but it's usually cold when you come up out there and it's cold up here. So we can still do it there, but if you don't, you want to decide later, we've got water troughs that we use to baptize people in here and the Livestock Center, so we can do that anytime, all right? Birthdays. Anybody got a birthday this week? How back here? Ashton's got a birthday. 29, right? Okay, all right. Anybody else birthdays? Here, everywhere, over here. Anniversaries. Anybody got an anniversary? No anniversaries. No. Well, sing it anyway.
All right. Help me sing this, guys. I want to hear ya. Get ready. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
She sounded like, kind of like Dawson, didn't she? Yeah, she looked bad. Yeah. Something to think about real quick. When life feels unstable, don't be surprised. The world changes, plans break, people walk away. But God doesn't. He's always there. You don't need all the answers right now. You don't have to see the full path either. You just need to focus on Him. Not ahead into uncertainty, not behind into regret, but look upward to God. He's your stability, your peace, your guide. Tell God you love Him every day and thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him for the men and women like Charlie Kirk that are bold in telling others about Jesus. Our pastors, Scotty, Ty. May each one of you, in your own way, be bold in helping others find Jesus. Many of you have mental and physical scars from life, but you just don't know that the only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. You see, the only scars in heaven be on the hands that hold you. Bow them in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. You're always there for us, Father, and we thank you for the comfort we have in knowing that. May we all do everything we can to keep Satan out of this church, Father, because he'd sure like to get a foot in here, I guarantee you. Father, be with our divided America. I pray we get back to one nation under you. I lift up Charlie Kirk's family and friends. I lift up little Shay to you. I lift up Charles Turk to you, Father. So many of them going through things. Little Shay got some tests coming up, and she needs to get her blood work up. And we're praying for that. So I pray everybody here will lift that up, Father, and Charles, and the family of this lady, too. We lift up all those going through illnesses or other things, and I pray they will take it one day at a time, and they'll put it in your hands, Father. And help them, Father, to realize that good people of this church are praying for them, and we're there for them in any way we can do that. And I ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless America, this church, and all of you.
Thank you, Larry. All right, let's turn to page 61. Let's do the Unclouded Day. Thank you. 28. Let's do "I'll Fly Away" in D. Boys, are you listening over there?
No.
Okay, well, it's D, and we're going to do "I'll Fly Away." So we're ready, right? Go. Mom, are you ready over there? You're ready. Okay, let's kick it off. Hey, good singing out there. All right, let's bring our special up. Ray Massey is going to come up here. Give him a hand. Hey, yeah. And give these boys and my mom a hand up here too, right? We're so blessed at the Sauk River Cowboy Church. Yeah.
There we go. I'm going to sing an old song, and I just learned it a few weeks ago. I was listening on my phone to Johnny Cash, some inspirational songs, and this song came on, and I thought of his life and things and struggles he's been through and had been through and the struggles that I've been through and you've been through, and it just reminded me how the Lord is near and how he reaches down to us. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Then my Jesus came forth with his hand. Then he reached down his hand to me. When my Savior reach down to me, when he reached way down to me, I was lost and undone, without God or his Son. When he reached way down, I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he told me that I could go free. Then he lifted my feet and gave me gladness complete. When he reached down his hand to me, when my Savior reached down to me, when he reached way down to me, I was lost and undone, without God or his Son. When he reached way down to me, when he reached way down to me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Y'all doing all right this morning? You look good. Look at your neighbor, poke him. Say, ooh, you pretty. It's good to be somewhere. Oh my goodness. Y'all go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 this morning. I want to tell you about old Buck Rollins. Buck Rollins was a rough old cowboy. And he was grumpy. He could find a cloud in every silver lining. And he was just one of those fellers that nothing seemed to go right for him. You know, the weather, it's too hot. It's too cold. We need less rain. We need more rain. The coffee's too strong. I don't understand that. You can't get coffee too strong. Coffee's too strong. This meat's overdone. And his sweet wife, Martha, endured this for years and years dealing with it. And she finally had enough one morning after an episode where the biscuits were too flaky. And she said, I'm going to fix him up real good. So that evening he comes in from working cows and he sits down and he reclines in his chair and he promptly falls asleep. And she goes to the kitchen and she gets some Limburger cheese. She takes a little bit of that Limburger cheese, and he had this big old handlebar mustache that the handlebars, they curled in a way that said disappointment all the time. And so she takes a little bit of that Limburger cheese and she gently and quietly works it into those handlebars. And then she grins and then she goes off to bed, leaves him in his recliner. Well, he wakes up the next morning with a grunt and a snort. He gets up and he says, something died in here. So he gets up and he begins to search through the house and he goes to the kitchen. He says, Martha, something stinks. She goes, I don't smell anything. So he goes to the pantry and he gets in there and he looks around and he's digging around. He can't find it. He says, there's something dead in here. It smells like a possum walked into a cheese factory and gave up. So he goes to the refrigerator and looks. Can't find it. He goes to the dog bed. This dog stinks. He goes over. This dog is smelly. He walks through the whole house looking for this smell and he can't find it. He finally says, I got to go outside someplace and get some fresh air. So he walks out on the porch and he goes, the porch stinks. He gives up on the house and he goes down to the barn. He walks into the barn and he goes, the barn stinks. Goes into the tack room. This tack room stinks. So he saddles his horse. He gets on him and he rides the entire perimeter of their ranch. He says, this ranch stinks. So finally he goes to the main gate and he goes out and he gets on the road and he's riding down the road. He goes, the whole world stinks. This whole world stinks. And the whole time, sweet Martha sitting on the porch sipping her coffee, just grinning. You know, kind of like old Buck, before we declare the world stinks, before we declare the world hopeless, we probably should check our upper lip. We probably should stop and reflect and look at things. And really, Philippians, when we look in Philippians this morning, we see Paul. This is one of the most joyous books in the Bible, but yet Paul's imprisoned. He's sitting in prison writing this letter to the Philippians. And he's happy, he's joyous. Now, if y'all remember our first message as we looked at this, we saw that he was happy about the Philippians and what was going on and the unity that they had. But this morning, what I want to share with you as we look at this, listen, we can't always escape hardship. We can't always escape troubles. We can't always escape trials. But we need to know this. We can have a gospel perspective. And we talked about gospel relationships, but what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you four gospel perspectives, all right, when life stinks. Four gospel perspectives when we're going through trials and we may feel like the world is terrible. And we look around right now and we look over the past couple of weeks and the things that have happened and we can definitely have that attitude. We can look at life and we can have that perspective that life is terrible. World is, it's going downhill. And we can get into this woe is me attitude and oh, pills and bills, right? And that could be our attitude. But what I want to share with you this morning as we look in verse 12 is there's these four perspectives, gospel perspectives, when life stinks that can help us, it can encourage us, and we can understand it. And so let's jump right in. And so the first perspective, I want you to write these down. If you're taking notes or put them in your phone and write this stuff down, I want you to know this. Ready? Is that the gospel advances through suffering. It is a vehicle that carries it. It's not the only way that the gospel advances, but when we deal with trials, when we deal with troubles, when we're going through hardships and life is tough, the gospel advances through those moments and through those seasons in life. And I want us to understand that. And so in verse 12 it says, and I want you, Paul's saying this to the Philippians, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It advances the gospel when we look at these situations. Look how Paul frames this. He's saying, yeah, I'm imprisoned, but it's an opportunity. An opportunity for God's love and His message and the gospel to be shared with others. You can imagine being chained, and especially being imprisoned back then. And these prisons weren't nice. It was pretty rough. But being chained to two prison guards, he had a captive audience. He may have been in prison, but he had a captive audience to share the gospel with others. And he is saying, listen, this is an opportunity for God's love and His message and the message of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us to be moved forward and other people's lives changed because of what Jesus did and because of this situation that I'm in. And so a lot of times these setbacks that we look at in our lives and we think a season in our life has sidelined us and it set us back, but the truth is God can use that as a setup for His mercy, His grace, His goodness to change other people's lives. And Julie and I, we went through this about 5 years ago when Julie was diagnosed with breast cancer. We faced something, and this is something we had never faced in our family at all. But it was scary, and we had the why questions, and we had the what if questions going on, and through all the surgeries, and through multiple surgeries, and through multiple chemo treatments, and going through this, in our minds, we felt those fears, those anxieties that come with that kind of a health issue. It was scary. We were tired, we were exhausted, we were scared, and we had a two-year-old. A two-year-old boy. How many of y'all have seen Hayes around here a little bit? You can imagine. And so we were struggling with that. My dad, a man of God who loved Jesus, who preached the gospel. I grew up in a pastor's home. He and I had conversations. He says, I'm having a hard time understanding how a family who loves Jesus has got to go through this and deal with this in this season of life. But I want to tell you, a couple weeks ago, as we were in Jasper, Arkansas, playing bluegrass on a stage, and some of y'all were with us at Starvey Creek this weekend, as we stood up there and we sang that special that we sang last week, Julie and I sang it, New Again. John looked at us at Jasper, Arkansas, on the stage, our fiddle player. He said, hey, I want you to do New Again, and I'm going to share this story, your story, Julie's story, with the folks as we start to play this song. And so he shared that story with the folks as we began to sing. And we sang this song, and we looked out, and there were folks that were, you could tell on their faces that they had probably dealt with the same thing, the same issues in their lives. They were facing those same issues. And as we finished our set of music and we walked down off of that stage and we walked over to our little booth where our CDs and our t-shirts and all that stuff are, I was boxing up instruments and I looked down there and I see Julie standing there, and there was this elderly gentleman, a veteran. He had tears in his eyes. And he come walking straight to, he was on a mission, straight to Julie. And he grabbed Julie and he hugged her and he wouldn't turn her loose. And he said, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for singing that, because my wife and I, we're going through the same thing right now. Not only did he come up and talk to her, But a lady from another band that was playing at the same festival, she came up and she says, I'm the exact same situation, diagnosed with breast cancer. She was wearing a wig because of the chemo treatments. She says, I'm dealing with that right now. And Julie had the opportunity to share her story and her testimony of God's goodness and His grace and His mercy and His healing power with others. And so while we face those situations and those trials in our lives, and we may have questions why, and we may have the what ifs, when we get on the other side of those situations, we see that God takes that setback, that thing that we thought, you know what, this is going to stop. We may never get to really play music, bluegrass at a bluegrass festival again. We may never get to do this kind of stuff. This may have just set us back. We may never get the opportunity to do this again. And while we face those things, God used that, what we thought might be a setback, for a setup for His message, for His love, for His grace, for His mercy to be advanced. And it's because of those moments that every one of us, each one of you sitting in here, whatever you're facing, the trial you face, I want you to know this, you've not been sidelined, but God is making a way for you to share your testimony, your story of God's grace and His mercy in your life to encourage someone else and to advance the gospel. And so we have to have a gospel perspective of this. Listen to what it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." You may be facing a trial, but it's not for nothing. You may be facing health issues. You might be facing a struggle, a family issue. You may be facing these situations, but God will take that and He will use that for His glory. And while you may be feeling like you don't know why this is happening, but God is preparing you to be a vessel of His mercy and His goodness in someone else's life. It's your opportunity. It's your opportunity. God's preparing you for what He wants done in someone else's life. And so you may not see it yet. You may not feel it yet. But know this, that your pain has purpose. Your struggle has purpose. What you're going through has purpose. Now, I want you to understand this. I do not believe that God inflicts us with these things. But He can take what has happened in a fallen world and other people's actions and other people's things that they've done, and He can use that to further the kingdom of God. Now, let's keep going. The second gospel perspective, I want you to write this down, ready, is that the gospel is bigger than motives. The gospel is bigger than motives. Listen to this, verse 15. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful for me. But that doesn't matter. Hear Paul's attitude. That doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Let me tell you something. The gospel is bigger than motives. Some of you in here have been hurt by the church. Some of you in here have been hurt by other Christians. And Paul is saying this right here. These are believers. Do you notice? These are preachers that he's talking about here. Saying they're preaching, but they want to make my situation harder for me. And some of you have. You've been hurt by church. You've been hurt by ministries. You've been hurt by people in church. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to give it one more try. I want you to know this. I'm going to tell you this. This is the one thing I want you to know, that people may hurt you, the church may hurt you, others may hurt you, flawed individuals who are human beings may fail you, but Jesus never will. Amen. Jesus never will. Because we can get discouraged by impure motives. We get discouraged by flawed people. But I want you to know this, that the gospel remains the same. It remains true. It's life-saving. And Paul says, yeah, there's going to be those who do that. But that doesn't change the gospel, the saving power of Jesus Christ. See, when we get hurt in church and we choose to take that in and internalize that, and we take the attitude of, you know what, I tried church, I was hurt, I was disappointed, I'm struggling with that, and so I'm giving up on church, I'm not going to go to church anymore. If you've done that, I want you to know that you've placed your faith in people, not in Jesus. You've placed your faith in people and not in Jesus. Paul could have said, you know what, I'm done with the ministry. I'm over it. I'm done. All these people that are trying to make my situation worse, they're trying to discourage me, they're trying to stop me. That could have been his attitude. He could have said, I'm done, I'm finished with ministry. And I can tell you this, the percentage of pastors who begin, young pastors who start to pastor and they go into the ministry, the percentage is very high of those who give up and say, no, ministry's too hard. And they walk away. But I want you to know this, is that the message is more powerful than the messenger. I am a human being. I am flawed. I am not perfect, nor will I ever be. And while I may never intend to hurt anybody or discourage anyone, I am flawed and I'm a human being. But I can tell you this much, that the gospel is perfect. Jesus is perfect. His love is perfect. His grace is sufficient. He's the one that changes our lives and not me. Pastor Scott, who's here this morning, he would say the same thing. Pastor Scott, he's not perfect. Might surprise some of us. But it's true. And so it's always dangerous to put pastors, to put leaders, to put those people up on pedestals, because we are human beings like everybody else. But yet we can know this, is that the gospel, the message of the Bible and what Jesus has done for us will save your life. Will save your life. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians. In chapter 4. We'll just start in verse 4. And it says, Satan, who is the god of all this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news, and they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Do you notice that? Paul's saying, look, this is not about us. This is not about me. This is not about my fame, about my... He's not taking an inward look at this. But what does he say? We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. He's saying that the message is greater than the messengers. Messengers are flawed, but the gospel remains pure. The gospel remains powerful. And so the gospel is bigger than motives. It's bigger than that. Let's keep moving. third perspective, third gospel perspective that I want you to get is that the gospel gives courage in life and in death. The gospel gives courage in life and in death. It's easy to fear death, and it's easy to crave and want comfort. But I'm telling you now that comfort kills the church. Comfort kills the church. And it's easy to seek that. How many of y'all know when it's hot outside, where you want to be? Yeah. When it's cold outside, where you want to be? When you've been working all day, where do you want to sit? Some of y'all are very good at mechanic work. It's easy for you to put a rear end in a recliner. Right? Why? That's okay. We can clap because I like it too. I enjoy that. Why? Because we seek comfort. We seek comfort in all kinds of things. We try to find, when life is hard, we try to find those moments where things are comfortable. Some of us, when we're facing high emotions and situations in our life, how many of y'all like comfort food? Some of you like comfort food more than others. I do. But we seek comfort. But finding ourselves a spot that's comfortable as believers, as Christians, when we seek comfort instead of courage, it tears down the church instead of building it up. And so the gospel gives courage in life and in death. Listen to Paul's dilemma. Listen to this in verse 19. For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. And so I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. His dilemma is this: I die, I'm with Jesus. I stay, I have opportunity to share the gospel. I have opportunity to share God's grace and his love and his mercy with others. What a wonderful dilemma to have. Now, what a tragedy to hear that Charlie Kirk is gone. What a terrible thing that we've witnessed. Because he was a godly young man that loved Jesus and was courageous in sharing the gospel. And he was someone, you see him and you notice he didn't seek comfort. It can't be comforting to sit in front of a crowd of college students who want to come against you. But he took courage, knowing that Jesus was the Lord of his life. And I want you to hear this. This is a quote from Charlie. It says, "All death can do is deliver me to Jesus. All death can do is deliver me to Jesus." He was living boldly for Jesus, and I'm telling you, that's the kind of clarity that Paul's talking about here in the Word of God. Taking a stand, and now more than ever, we need young men and young women. We need families. We need dads who are ready to step up and lead their family boldly, courageously in their relationship with God, into God's promises for them. We need that now more than ever. And so I encourage you, if you're in here and you say, you know what? The events over the past couple of weeks have changed me, have changed my mind. I feel this stir inside of me that something needs to happen. I encourage you to stand up, to be bold in your faith, and share the gospel with others. Be bold and say, no, I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to lead my family and share the gospel with them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to share His word with them. Because as men in here, as dads, that's your job. Now, I don't want to get into my Thursday night message too much, because that's what we're going to be talking about on Thursday nights as we're going through Joshua. And if you feel that stirring, come on Thursday nights too. Because it's exactly what we're going to do, talking about leading our family into the promises of God. But it's time that we do that, living boldly for Jesus. The gospel doesn't just help us endure suffering, but it also gives us courage to live boldly in the face of death and troubles and persecution. And sometimes in some situations like Charlie, die faithfully for Jesus. Sometimes that's a hard message to accept. But it's the truth. The gospel gives us courage in the face of life and death as we follow Jesus. The gospel doesn't just help us through those, you know, little hard times that we think may be difficult. But when we have a gospel perspective, it gives us the boldness to continue to follow Jesus. All right, the fourth one. Y'all ready for this? The fourth one. The gospel calls us to stand together. The gospel calls us to stand together as believers. Listen to this in verse 27. It says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. If you're in here and if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know this. You are a citizen of heaven. And you're just passing through here on this earth. Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it. What he's saying here is that the gospel calls us to stand together. You know, we divide over preferences, we divide over fears, we divide over pride. But as citizens of heaven, Jesus calls us and unites us in one mission. It's to love God and love others, and to share His goodness with others. And so this morning, I want you to know that Jesus unites us together. And now maybe you're here and you're saying, listen, over the past few weeks, the events that have taken place in our nation and the stuff that's happened, I just felt the stirring that I need to come back to church. I need to be a part of a church, and I want to be here. I want you to know you're moving in the right direction. That's the Holy Spirit working on you, drawing you in. And maybe you haven't taken this step, but I want you to know this. The first step in moving in the right direction is accepting Jesus as your Savior. And if you haven't done that, take that step. Pray and ask God. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Confess your sins to Him and begin to live for Him this morning. That's the first step. And then as you do that, you grow and you begin to learn and God begins to change your life. So I encourage you to do that. And today, after service, if that's you and you say, listen, I want someone to pray with me, we'll be here. I'll be here. Larry is going to be here. We've got several men that would be happy to pray with you and ladies that would be happy to pray with you. We encourage you to do that. But here's the thing. We have to change our perspective. Now, we can be like old Buck Rollins. We can find a cloud in every silver lining. We can complain that the biscuits are too flaky. We can walk around and declare that the world is hopeless and that my situation stinks, and we can wallow in that, or we can say, this is an opportunity for God to do something great, not only in my life, but in the others around me, because each one of you have a circle of influence that you can influence others for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and say thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. God, I pray for each person who might be listening on the live stream or who's here this morning, and I pray for every person who heard the message over at the Stockyards. Lord, I pray that if they're hearing these words and they're feeling you draw them in, I ask you that you begin to move in their lives so that you would give them courage to move through each situation, every trial, everything that each person might be facing. Lord, help them to see your goodness and that they're not sidelined, but they're being set up for something great in your kingdom. Lord, we love you and we praise you for that. If there's someone that hasn't accepted you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they call you Lord and they begin to live boldly for you, and that they would see this gospel perspective, that the gospel is carried through our lives in every situation, good and bad. And we love you for that, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sing with us. We're going to do Peace in the Valley, key A.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go alone till the Lord comes and calls, calls me away. Oh, yes, will the morning so bright and the Lamb is light and the night.
Close this in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord, that this week we could recognize through all the shadows that may be going out in this world, Lord, all the voices that are telling us that things are falling apart, Lord, that we can see you and see our blessings, and no matter how small, Lord, that we know you are there, Lord. And Lord, as we carry through, Lord, help us not be comfortable in our faith, Lord. Help us carry out things that make us uncomfortable, that take courage, that take missions of courage, that we can go out and minister your teachings to others that may need it, Lord. Because if we teach to one another who already know Christ, Lord, we're just talking against a wall. So, Lord, let us go out and give your teaching in places that may be uncomfortable as you once did. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.